Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about how would we like to encourage our children to see the world around us, to be able to engage in nature, to be able to be creative, and to be able to learn about the world in which we are currently present in. If we're looking at the year 2020, we're now seeing there's a lot of change going on in the world. There are a lot of life events. There's a lot of shape-shifting, as we call it, and there's a lot of things are no longer normal. Can we run to get to normal? What is normal? Perhaps it is time where we can see that we are healing adults through a child's eyes, really trying to nurture the parent and the child bond. Isn't that what time is all about? When you spend time with your children, you're learning how to be able to see things differently, to let go of some of the struggles and the kind of imprints that you've held on from the past, and be able to say, oh, I think I'm just going to let it go and be free as a child today. Why are we waiting and saying that we are missing all of that time, and when we have to have children, then we'll be able to enjoy that childlike in us? Perhaps parents can engage with children, bring the childlike out, but also, too, the children can be able to share with adults how to be able to open up. I think it's really about now creating that vital loop between parents, children, elders, really anyone, in saying, how can we go forth better? How can we go forth open? How can we go forth and say, let's just have a great day today and see what shows up? There's so much creativity in every single day. Sometimes we get stuck in the rituals. Time to let the rituals go because they are no longer the normal. We don't have any normal anymore, and we're now free to create. How will we rise? My guest today is Ruth Witte. Her book is Changing the World Through Children, how to be able to creatively help our children learn, be able to understand how children learn, and be able to encourage their learning at such a young age when we just think it's little play. We can really find so many life gems there. Ruth, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
No, thank you so much for inviting me, Dr. Jeanette.
You're so welcome. Ruth, don't you think we are potentially at the time where all of the ways that we used to do things, we kind of like would drop our kids off at daycare, drop them off at preschool, you know, and say, here, you know, you kind of do what you need to do with them because I got other things to do. Don't you think we're now at a point where parents and children are now being encouraged as they have more time together to be able to say, hey, what does your world look like? And the others are saying, hey, what does your world look like, right?
I think that this is such a gift. I've always noticed the difference between children who are able to spend a lot of time with their parents, and this is an opportunity for them to really grow up together and get to know one another.
Yeah.
And it really takes a lot of conscious effort, because you have kids and you think that you know what they should know, and you tell them to behave or to get along with other people, but if they haven't been taught specifically how to do that, how can they move forward? right. in a successful way.
You know, I remember I have four kids, you know, and I would always send them to daycare or preschool, and they come back and they tell me something like, well, that's the way we do it at school, and you're going, huh? That's not really the way I believe my child should be doing things, or that's not the way we believe that other people should be doing things. Don't you think it's truly about being able to say, can we create a spirit, more or less, of how we wish to engage all children going forward? In other words, we don't want to say there's haves and there's have-nots, and if you go to that school or this school, you know, the whole thing, I'm in my 60s. It was always, well, if you went to a public school here, you had those issues. If you went to a private school, you had those issues, you know. There was always a separation. Yet we're really trying to say that all children are lights. All children are such little balls of creativity, and we all want a little piece of that. It's how we can nurture that. Do you think we kind of like squelch it pretty early on?
Absolutely, largely because it takes so much time to to really touch a child and let the child touch you. We're all so swept away in what we're doing and what we have to do next, and taking the kids to dance or music lessons or soccer games, and we just forget that there is the issue of learning how to communicate.
When you're also looking at that, you're saying it does take time, but we're going, what really is the point? Isn't it the point of engaging children? In other words, you're not supposed to have children to ship them out. So maybe now the time of we don't have to work so many hours. We are realizing we can do with less. We are saying, I'd love to stay home and nurture our children as long as we can. I think the trend to that, maybe starting again, don't you think?
Oh, I do. I do. And as far as bringing up children differently, children need to learn to understand that everyone is different and comes from a different place and has different things that are taught to them and are good at certain things and need help with other things. And just as they're learning that all of this is okay, makes it easier for them to get along with children as they grow up.
Yeah, I think
that... Does that make any sense?
Oh, absolutely. Because also, too, when you have children, what's the first thing that happens? Whatever was in your own self, your own emotions, your own past history, your own hang-ups, it seems like they all just show up like crazy, don't you think, when you have kids?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Having a child is a way to kind of have a redo of your own childhood. In a way, you get to see things through your children's eyes. And once you start seeing that and remembering, then you start to have things come up that may be bothersome or have affected you in a negative way. But you can go back and kind of reparent your child just by having the opportunity to raise a child of your own.
Right. Yeah, because I think the idea is sometimes parents will say, oh, well, I never had that, so my kids don't need that. We hear that a lot, you know. Or, oh, well, I mean, sometimes we get jealous parents because their child can do so much more. Sometimes we get angry parents because they say, oh, no, that's not the way it's going to be. It's going to be my way or the highway. Or sometimes we have parents who will go the total opposite way and say, I never had it, but I'm going to give my child everything. I felt that, so I'm going to overprotect my child. I think sometimes we want to say, is there a balance in the middle? It's sort of like, all of these things are showing up, and it seems to be kind of a battleground with early childhood education, don't you think?
Oh, yes. I think that part of what's really important is to try to pare away the extraneous stuff and get back to the very basics. Teaching a child what to say in certain situations, teaching a child that they may be really good at something and somebody else may be much better at something else. And if we work together, then we can be awesome at both.
Yeah.
No, instead of having all of the activities and things, just getting to know who we are in our own skin.
Yeah, absolutely.
And being
okay with
that.
Yeah, but what I think really too, Ruth, in your book, Changing the World Through Children, it's really changing the world because parents will then become, rather have the opportunity to start healing self through a child's eyes. Because if you can see that and say, I have that deep hurt, and then go back and help yourself heal, help yourself walk through what happened or whatever at that time, then you're able to give so much more to the child, but you'll also be able to show up so much more present as a parent or as a spouse or as someone who's really engaged in the world with your work. Don't you think it's kind of like it's a very symbiotic kind of relationship once it starts to happen versus feeling like we're always in this resistance push and pull, right?
Exactly. So what I was thinking of is, for instance, in my classes, we spend a lot of time talking about life on Earth and taking care of the Earth and just conserving our resources and all of that. And I remember one day we were talking about recycling, and I asked the kids how many of them recycle, and all of them raised their hands except for one. And they didn't know what recycling was.
Right.
So we talked about that, and they went home and told their parents, and their parents started to recycle.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what, you know, if we're teaching kids things that parents aren't aware of or need to learn more about, then we're also teaching the parents, because the parents want to be involved in their children's education.
Yeah. You know, I live in New Orleans, and I'll tell you, there's never been, no, I'll take that back. There were phases, or rather, I call them peeing in the ocean, kind of attempts to recycle in this city, and they just don't. And, you know, when I lived in California, it was like it did it all the time. In Arizona, it was like it was essential. You almost got a ticket if you didn't do it, you know? So
yeah.
I think the idea is that there are many different aspects across the world. And to try to help your child engage in what's currently like within their range, like what's going on around them, but also, too, to alert a child to something else in another area. So in other words, just because we don't recycle here doesn't mean a child should not be taught how to recycle, how to reuse, how to use less. Don't you think it's about the bigger global picture we want to really teach children? Because even if something isn't in their area, maybe they will be the one that will bring it forth and maybe change a system, change a city, change a government, or just change their neighborhood, right?
Right.
Yeah, and I think sometimes it really brings up a lot of shame and guilt in parents, because sometimes parents will say, oh, dear, you know, I really didn't do so well. I wish I could have done better. And that's the opportunity when your kids are older. You can still heal with them. You can still share, you know, your experiences and how you did your best. And then, you know, there's always grandkids or there's, you know, elders to work with. So I think the idea is that we're not talking about today changing the world, you know, through children just at a certain time in your life or, you know, between the ages of 2 and 4. It's truly about being able to create that loop where everyone is healing consistently going forward, but having childlike eyes. Don't you think when you have a childlike eyes, it's almost like this little spark that's always dancing. Don't you think that's what we're
Absolutely. Really
trying to nurture, right?
Yes. And I like the idea, the whole time loop. I like that because we're all pieces of all of ourselves. through time.
Right.
Does that make sense? There's
yeah,
the little child in me and the teenager. I'm in really close touch with my three-year-old self a lot these days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just feel that three-year-old self surface. And I feel just like a three-year-old throwing a temper tantrum. Pretty funny. But I think it's good to remember that we are all the parts of all of ourselves as we grow.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times when elders will be at a time in their life and will say, what would you just love to do that you never did when you were a child? Or we speak with those with dementia or Alzheimer's, and they're always talking about their early childhood. Or we say, well, I really miss that I didn't do, you know, whatever it was in their childhood. So why
mm-hmm.
are we waiting till the end of life to be able to say, whoa, you know, look at what I missed? It's almost as if we are being pushed along a kind of highway, and we say, oh, but someone's pushing me. I can't experience the joy in the exits. And really what you and I are saying is look every day for the exits and get off them, you know, and enjoy the life. Because I think, you know, even if you're someone who has no children and you're seeing children hop, skip, and jump down the street, you can go home in your privacy of your own driveway and hop, skip, and jump all you want, you know. But you've engaged in that. You've opened something up in yourself. You've opened up your heart. You have played joyfully with your life. And but yet we try to, you know, keep ourselves so refined or so confined throughout our lifetime that we miss these gems, don't you think?
Well, I think that is true. And I also think that a lot of times, if we have children, we think of it as a second chance for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so our kids can do what we weren't able to do. For instance, someone so badly wanted to be a ballerina when she grew up.
Yeah.
And so she did ballet and she didn't become a ballerina, but that little girl in her always wanted to be the ballerina. And so she started her daughter on the ballerina track. Mm-hmm. And there was so much pressure on that girl to become a ballerina that she couldn't become who she needed to be for herself.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough place to be when you try to put your insecurities, your misguided plans, or your sadness or despair on someone else to be able to fill
mm-hmm.
that up for you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes, you know, I think when we want to say change the world, that's really about being able to say, no, it's time for you to hold on to your own bucket and heal it, because theirs is already full of joy and happiness. Let them be, you know.
Right.
In other words, we don't want to be stealing from their bucket to make ourselves feel better, but we don't want to be able to either dispel on their bucket and have it drained out. In other words, we don't want to suck the life out of kids, you know, or be able to have them be what they should be, you know. I think it's such a hard place to be these days when you say, but I see how the kids are and there's so much they're doing this and they're doing that. It's almost like we have, you know, the young toddlers are really great kids, you know. Then they get to be teens and they're like troublemakers. You know,
mm-hmm.
and then they get to be in their 20s and they're like, whoa, they're outspoken, walk away. You know,
mm-hmm.
and then it's sort of like this paradigm kind of totem pole that we go up. And each one of those notches in that totem pole has a different issue that needs to be challenged or looked at or explored.
And that never ends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, what is the one thing you can actually keep going forward? And I think that's joy or creativity or excitement about the world. If you took those three things, you can bring
mm-hmm.
those along, every one of those notches, and use it as your base. But yet we forget it at every single one, don't we?
Well, I think that by having little children around and having the time to truly listen to who they are and what they think about and what they love, truly listen to it, then it makes it easier for yourself to start looking at the world in that way. I found that one of the really good ways of doing that is to ask the children questions. And when you first start asking little children questions, they don't really know how to answer. You know, and they'll just give you some words out of thin air that mean nothing to the question. But
right. But
the more you ask children questions about all kinds of things, they use their memory or their imagination or their common sense to answer. And that's the first step. And then asking them about the world around them. What do you know about a tree? And ask them to tell you everything they know about a tree. And you know what? They know a lot about a tree, or about the sun, or about the car. They know so many things that nobody ever told them.
Right.
But I think that when children are born, they know everything, and they lose touch with that with the development of communication. Because by using words, we're kind of putting it in a box.
Yes, yes.
And so teaching kids to look at and see the big picture of how they relate to the earth and how the bees relate to them, going out into nature and just watching nature quietly
right. Every
day,
yeah. You
learn so much about how the world works and how our actions affect nature. And there are so many calming, beautiful things that are out there that will fill the part of our soul that is not able to be filled with things.
You know, I think it's really great too to also be able to teach children about growing food, to grow flowers, to be able to see the trees, to be able to enjoy nature, and then also, too, to understand how things work in the world. In other words, we teach them about nature to see how things grow, and then they watch themselves grow. We teach them to how to water plants. It's about nurturing. We teach them how to not go around and cut down all the flowers, just let them grow in their own time and space so others can enjoy them. I think, you know, it's something to be able to see when a little child says, no, 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 Mommy, don't pick that flower. Someone else might want to see it, you know. And
right. Wouldn't
that be a wonderful thing to be able to share with kids right now, you know, because I think we've kind of gotten off track. You know, we walk through the flowers and trample them down. We cut them out of the grass because the grass doesn't look perfectly green, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or we spray stuff on them. So I think the idea is, how can we show them how to appreciate the earth versus being able to destroy it or not even notice it?
I think that is where sitting in the backyard for half an hour or something. There's also community. They learn so much about community in a garden,
mm-hmm.
with watching the ants. And just seeing how things work, how the birds interact with each other. You know, and if they're just watching and really paying attention, they can see that each squirrel has its own personality, and you can tell the difference between the squirrels. Or you can see how three birds will work together building a nest. Or any number of things, but just finding that sense of calm and peacefulness, and
right. Teaching
kids at a young age to do that.
Yeah.
Because if you don't learn that at a young age, I don't think you ever really get it, how to find that in yourself.
Right. You know, I'm in my 60s, and I grew up outside all the time, and I just can't understand it otherwise. You know, I'm just outside all the time. The other day I went outside, and I don't know, something said get up and go out, and I got up and I went out, and I always take my cell phone, and I heard the woodpecker, and I couldn't find it, and I said, oh, let me just capture your voice. And I turned it on and had the camera pointed to the tree, but I couldn't see the woodpecker, but I could hear him. And all of a sudden, this dragonfly comes right up to the lens of my iPhone, and I caught the dragonfly, and I said, wow, I've never caught the dragonfly that close. It was just coming to see what I was all about, and it was just so cool. I had posted it on social media, and I went, that is just so cool. But I will honestly say that out of my thousands of followers, they weren't able to connect with that. Do you think that sometimes as adults we say, wow, really, we are so disconnected, yes?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, more about the nature and watching. You see the birds, and the birds are beautiful, and you want to know what kind of bird it is. But before you see it, you hear it.
Yes.
And you think, until you're really paying attention, you think they all have the same voice. You know, you wake up in the morning and you hear the birds twittering. But then, if you really listen closely, you'll hear one that sounds like it's going tick-a-dee-dee-dee. Well, that's the first one we always learn.
Right.
But there's the one that sounds like it's whistling for the dog.
Yeah.
That's a cardinal.
Yeah.
You know, and the robin has such a musical voice. And just, you know, when you start seeing the things individually and how they all affect each other, then it's easier to see yourself as an individual and how you affect everyone else.
Right, right. Well, you know, Ruth, in closing, let's talk about this one last aspect, is about how would we like to rise going forward? Can we say, no more big child care places, let's change them? Let's have some smaller centers going forward. Let's have some community family groups in like little centers on corners. You know, I look at it, and I even was speaking the other day. We were talking about religion and the church, and I said, why does the church have to be claiming that they don't have the money and they have to have the people to be able to keep up all their glittering gold and all their stained glass? I said, what if the church all of a sudden closed down and we said we can minister on the corner? We can minister at the church. We can minister anywhere. Don't you think it's the same way with kids? So I think in closing, Ruth, I really wanted to say also, too, is that now we're at the opportunity of the time of saying, let's look at these little tiny spots that we can create for children. How can we bring families together? How can we increase our healing capacity? And how can we change the world going forward? Because we're now at a point of reset. Are we ready to say we will rise differently? Or are we ready to say, oh no, you know, money's all about, I got to go, I got to make it for this reason? It's almost like I see it that people are going to start moving out of expensive areas. They're going to say, I don't need this anymore. And wouldn't that be changing the world, Jess?
It would. It would. I think that working with small groups of kids is key to all of this.
Yeah.
I think that kids need to learn to get together and get along with a few kids at a time and keep it to 6 or 7 kids instead of 15 or 18 or 24 kids in one group, because 6 or 7 kids can learn about how each one is different and how each one is gifted in certain ways. And if they can learn to do it with a group of 5 or 6, then later on they can learn to do it with a group of 10 or a group of 20.
Yeah, it's almost like you're creating a chain of pearls, don't you think?
That's really,
It's almost like that. You know, I think also, too, you know, Ruth, is that we teach the children to be able to love and honor the world around us. And we need to say, you know what, maybe I haven't done it in the past, but I will now. And you ask the children, teach me. You know, be humble, be open, be aware, you know, be vulnerable. Say to the kids, I never felt that before. What does that feel like? You know, lay down on the floor with the child and say, what do you see up there? You know, be able to be in wonderment of life. I think that's what your book is really truly all about, is how can you create wonderment in children? How can you keep it fostering going forward? And how can you engage in, you know, a family to be able to see this going forward as like propelling and being the norm versus saying, oh, those are just those times in my life when I felt that. It can be the time of our life to feel that. Yes?
Exactly. And it also comes down to listening to children carefully, because children are the best teachers of anyone, because they know everything. They don't know it and we don't know it, but they see the world the way that it is.
Yeah.
Not the way they want it to be or the way that they don't fit into it. They see it the way it is, and they see themselves the way they are until they don't. And I think that adults listening to children helps them to get to know the children and let them become who they are meant to be as they are learning to become themselves. Adults are able to come themselves.
Right. Well, it will be a time where we will say, you know, it's time for humanity to stand up, you know. Let's see where we go, right?
Exactly. Well, I'm really grateful for the opportunity to be with you, Dr. Jeanette. Thank you. Well, you can find more information about the program, Growing Places, at goldenratiodesign.com/places. And the website about the book is called changingtheworldthroughchildren.com. You can Google the name of the book, Changing the World Through Children, or changingtheworldthroughchildren.com.
Very good. Well, Ruth, it was such a pleasure to have you with us today. We thank you so much for joining us.
And thank you. I hope you have a good day.
Thank you. If you'd like to find out more information about Ruth Whitty, get her book, Is Changing the World Through Children, please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page for more information. And it truly is about, we are now at a standstill in 2020. How will we rise? Can we say we no longer need to carry around the past, the ways we used to do things, all of the memories, the dogma, the beliefs, and the past information of how things worked or all of the pains and struggles? Children are such a wonderful gem. They're a life gem. They're being like given a seed. How do you plant it? How do you nurture it? How do you see it growing forward? Parents and elders can also join in the growth process by also learning how to heal their own souls and hearts through the eyes of a child. We are being given this opportunity. How will we rise? Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.